This is Jack. Jack is happy. Jack is happy because he's in his comfort zone. Go, Jack, go. Jack is a good driver. However, he has been stopped for DUI, driving underinflated. Jack loves to go to church. Go to church, Jack, go! Jack used to enjoy visiting with friends over a good meal at church. However, he stopped going to meals at church because meeting new people is out of Jack's comfort zone. Jack used to volunteer in the children's ministry. However, he stopped that because children are outside of his comfort zone. Oh, look at them giggle. That's gonna make Jack cry. Jack tried attending a small group one time. However, the leader said, "Jack, why don't you share with us?" And that, you guessed it, was outside of his comfort zone. Jack has many dreams, desires, and ambitions. He wants his life to count for something. However, that will never happen, because life lived inside the comfort zone is life lived outside of God's will.
Amen. Let's just open up in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you. We honor you. We glorify your name, God. At this moment, we acknowledge, God, that you are in this place, God. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you're here. And we ask that as I speak, that you would take control, God, that every word spoken would find fertile ground to lie in, God, that no word that goes forth would be snatched by the enemy, God, but every word will take root, God, in the lives, oh God, and the ears that the word falls on, oh God, that it would take root, that it would be planted, God, and not on shallow ground, God, but in deep, fertile soil, God, that we may be able to go throughout the week, God, and just meditate on it and learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whew. So pastor asked me to speak, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, yeah. But inside I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just say? Like, I love speaking in front of people, but it's different when you're about to teach the word. It's a whole other thing. So today's lesson is, or preaching is, from famine to harvest, stepping out of your comfort zone. From famine to harvest, stepping out of your comfort zone. And I'll tell you right now, I am out of my comfort zone. I asked pastor, I was like, can I stand down there? You know, I have a laptop, it's big. I feel comfortable down there. Like, I love it down there by you. And he's like, no, you can use my iPad. So I'm using his. And I was like, but I don't want to. I'm right with you guys. We all have some sort of comfort zone that we are in that God is calling us to step out of. And I have this quote. I'm going to try to learn to use this. Okay. The comfort zone is a psychological state in which one feels familiar, safe, at ease, and secure. You never experience life until you step out of your comfort zone. Change begins at the end of your comfort zone. Change begins at the end of your comfort zone. And we're going to open up to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. As we go into the text, I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then I'm going to kind of break it down for you, so just bear with me. I am reading from the NIV, just so you know. Ruth chapter 1, all the way from 1 to 22. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The son's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left there with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Amen. Whew. So I was, you know, getting my message together. First, you know, I'm like, who am I going to speak about, God? Like, there's so many women in the Bible. First, I was like, oh, Esther, and then Jumi stole one of mine last Sunday, because I was like, oh, the woman at the well, yes. And then I was like, okay, well, it's not that, but amen, God knows. So he led me to Ruth, and there's three women, right? We have Ruth, we have Orpah, and we have Naomi. So we're going to kind of talk about all three of them and how sometimes the comfort zone affects us, and sometimes we choose to stay there, but when we move forward, the things that God can do in it. So Ruth 1:1a, it says, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land." And I highlighted the word famine in the land, just to understand where we're going. So famine, right? Back then, we know that famine is a deficiency, a lack, a want, a shortage. So there's probably no food, right? They need food. So they're trying to figure out, all right, we need food. Where are we going? What are we gonna do? Right? Elimelech had his wife and his sons, and obviously, as a man, he wanted to provide for his family. And it says in the days when the judges ruled, so we kind of can get a glimpse that this probably happened during, right? We have the book of Judges and then Ruth, so it probably happened during the time of Judges, when that was going on, because that also refers to famine going on in the land then. So famine, deficiency, lack, want, and shortage. And how does a famine begin? And I have no rain. But there's different types of famines. We have spiritually, it doesn't just mean food, right? Spiritually, physically, and mentally. Spiritually, physically, and mentally. How does a famine begin? If you guys would turn to Deuteronomy 11, turn with me. I hope you all have your Bible. If not, your cell phone, whatever device. Deuteronomy 11. Sorry. and verse 13 to 17. And in the Bible, this is what God kind of said concerning famine, when he would send a famine, because this actually was a famine that, this is a God thing, as I call it. Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 17 says, "So if you faithfully obey the commands I have given you today, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain new wine and new oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you." So if you look into commentaries, most commentators will say, okay, there was a famine, which means the Israelites, there was some sort of disobedience going on. So God sent this famine. There's this shortage. So if we look into our lives spiritually, physically, mentally, if we really get down to it, we have to say, all right, what is it that we're lacking? What is it that we're short of? Is it spiritually? Are we not spending time with God? Are we not reading our words, so we're spiritually kind of going to this famine? Are we physically, right? We're not eating right. We're not exercising. You know, it's always donuts or whatever it is. But it will cause a famine. Mentally, are you not mentally taking a rest? We need mental breaks. It's proven. You need time to just do nothing, to rest your mind. I love Erica was sharing with the women yesterday things that she does to take a mental break, and we need that, or else your mind, you can see the smoke coming out. You need to take a break, or else you're going to have a famine. There's just going to be this dry place where you're just trying to grasp at things that are no longer there because you haven't been poured into. And the one that pours into us, and that's God, that's the Holy Spirit. And we're looking into this. So if we go to 1b, it says, "So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab." And what's interesting about this, Moab isn't necessarily a place they'd want to run to. Israelites worshiped the gods of the Moabites, and 24,000 of them died from the plague. That was their judgment. You can find that in Numbers 25. And after the Israelites settled in Canaan, Moab attacked and oppressed them. So there's a conflict. They've been oppressed by Moab. You know, they worshiped their gods, and then a plague was sent to them as their judgment. So to me, I'm like, why is he running to a land that, you know, they've seen nothing but strife? There's been nothing but a battle. They worship other gods. He's running to a land where they don't worship the same God as him. So I was like, why is he doing that? But when you think he's in a land where there's famine, so he's running to somewhere where there's food. So sometimes we choose to run away even when God doesn't tell us to run, right? God didn't necessarily say run, but usually we find in the scripture he says turn, right? Turn from your wicked ways, and then he'll pour out his spirit, right? But he decided to run away to this land where there's just idol worship and all these things going on. So my next thing, it says sometimes comfortability comes with a price. They were looking to become comfortable. He wanted to have food for his family, which people are like, well, that's not bad, right? That's not bad. Sometimes the right thing, the good thing is not always the right thing. It doesn't matter if that's good. He's searching for food, but is it right? Was he led by God? Did the Holy Spirit direct him to go to this land where there's all this idol worship? Maybe he sent him as a missionary. I don't know, but that's not what we're finding here. But he went there, and sometimes comfortability comes with a price. Laziness, compromise, spiritual death. There's a price for being comfortable. And I kind of look at it as like, you know, you have a hard day at work, and you go home, but you know you have things that you have to do, right? But once those shoes come off, you're like, that's it. My shoes are off. I'll save the shopping for later. I'll take a little nap, and then that little nap is 2-hour nap, and your whole, it's the next day already. You become comfortable. And sometimes in that, you're putting off things that God's like, I still need you to do that. So we have to be very, very careful, because we can become so comfortable that it comes consistent. It becomes something we do daily, and then it's just lazy. We come home, we sit on the couch, but then we say we have no time for anything else. But you did. You had hours. You just sat on the couch. You had time. So we compromise. Sometimes we become so comfortable that we compromise in situations because, right, sometimes as a parent, we're like, all right, I'm doing this. My kids are quiet. Don't even let me know what they're doing right now. They're just quiet, and I just need this break. But sometimes we compromise on this, or they'll ask us, can we do this? And in your heart, you're like, no, you shouldn't. But you're like, I need that just quiet time, and you let them go, and you kind of compromise there. Spiritual death, we talked about that before, where you're not reading your word. You're not being poured into by coming to church, right, on Bible study or prayer or Sunday service. You're coming once a year. You're going to die a spiritual death. You're not being poured into. You're going to have that famine. And it's something that we have to constantly be aware of. Where are we? Ask God, all right, I feel like I've been doing the same thing. And sometimes it's God's will. I'm not saying it's not. Sometimes he'll say, nope, stay this course, right? If you don't have an answer, a different answer, it just means stay the course. If he changes his answer, I think Juby talked about this in Sunday school, right? If he says go this way, then go this way. But if he gives no other direction, you follow the last direction. So there is times where you're like, I'm just seeing the same thing. That doesn't necessarily mean you're comfortable. It's when God's saying going this way, but you're still going forward when he said turn left. So watch out for that. Ruth 1:7, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. So at this point, right, we find Naomi's husband died. Then we find out her sons died. But not only before they died, her sons took up Moabite women, which was even more of a like, what are you doing? They're taking up wives that worship other gods. They're taking up wives that don't respect their God, and I'm sure they were still worshiping these other gods while they're married. And then these men die. They all die. And Naomi's just like, what am I going to do? Back then, the men they provided, the men had the land, the men they worked. When you had no man, it was like, you're just kind of like left. So you're going to end up like a beggar or something. If you didn't have somebody to take you in, if you didn't have a husband or a family to take you in, it was kind of like there's nothing left. And you see that here. You saw Naomi's desperation, like, I can't do anything for you. I'm too old. I don't have a husband. I can't give birth to sons, and then you're going to wait 14 or 15 years to marry them, whatever that is. So with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place she had been living, and she set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah, left the place where she had been living. If we think about our comfort zone, it's usually very small. We think it's big, but it's not. I love it says she left the place she had been living. She had found comfort, I'm sure, in the land of Moab. She'd lived there for over 10 years. I believe it says 10 years. So I'm sure she had a house and she had, you know, maybe a little farm, some animals. She knew people in the market, right? She knew her routine. And we all have a routine. We know the people that we are kids' teachers, we go to the same supermarket, we go to the same bank, we keep going, right? But she had to leave the place where she had been living. And that's when it's like, okay, sometimes God calls us to leave a place where we're living, but do we do it? That's surrender. We talked about that yesterday, even in worship. That's surrendering, leaving the place where we're at and setting out on a road. And it says back to the land of Judah. And I kind of like this. I have a little map up here. When you hear about Moab, when you think about Moab, Moab was a land made out of incest. Actually, Lot slept with his daughters-in-law, and that's Moab was came forth from that. And when you look, Moab means land just short of the promised land. Land just short of the promised land. And if you study worship, Judah means praise. So she left the land just short of the promised land, and she's stepping into praise. She doesn't understand this. Sometimes we don't understand it. That's why sometimes studying the Bible, you're like, wow. Like, I'm like, do you understand what I'm saying? She left the land just short of the promised land. She was comfortable. She thought this was great, but it's just short of the promised land. You think you've arrived, but you really haven't. She's here, but God is calling her here to the praise. I'm stuck here. I think my finances are great. I think my job is great. Maybe it's not, but I'm comfortable, so I'm just going to stand there. But God is calling us over to Judah, over to praise. But we're like, no, I'm comfortable here, God. I don't want to step forward. I don't want to go forward. But God's like, no, but I'm calling you. There's something better. No, God, but it's really good. I'm really okay. But I'm calling you. There's something better on the other side. But if you don't go to the other side, you're never going to get that blessing. Sometimes our blessing is one step away, but we don't want to take it because that means I have to be uncomfortable. And we are a land of comfortability, right? I say this, I was laughing, not laughing, but actually it was kind of like a little conviction because, right, we have Amazon Prime for groceries. Me and Sam, we were getting that for a long time. I didn't have to go to the grocery store. They were delivered by 6 a.m. and Sam would run downstairs and he would pick up the groceries and we put them away, right? We have Amazon for that. We just have Amazon Prime regular mail where you order it, 2 days later, it's here. What else? We had like Hulu. We had all these subscriptions to all these things to make our lives easy and comfortable. And then I noticed, I was like, wow, what a great plan the enemy has. I never have to talk to anybody. I never have to interact. I never have to say, God bless you. Have a great day. The word of the Lord is never going to go out because I'm comfortable in my house. I'm comfortable getting my groceries. I don't have to. I mean, I'm still being delivered, guys, because I go to Stop and Shop and I just get the clicker and I click all my stuff. So I still don't have to talk. God's working on me. But the devil's plans, like he's not like throwing things in your face that you're like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Sometimes it's little things. Comfortability, being comfortable is a little thing. Amazon Prime is a little thing. Makes my life easier, but it stops me from being the light in that grocery store or might stop me from running into, you know, sometimes you see people, I hope, you see an elderly person and you help them put their bags in the car or you open the door. They can't reach. Well, I'm usually the one that can't reach, but somebody helping you, right? You're just not there. It's like us as Christians, we're removing ourselves totally from the world. And God's like, but I told you to go out into the world, but you're living comfortably in your house. I don't understand. So he's calling us out of that land of Moab. He's calling us all out. There's something. You can't say this message is for not for you because there is something in your life where you're like, I like it just like that. Some of us make lists, right? I believe God gave me my husband to make me very uncomfortable sometimes because I'm just like, okay, God, I will let him speak. He could do it. He could do how he wants to share, how he wants to share. But then I'm like, in my mind, I've got this whole like speech set out. He needs to say it like this, and it's got to look like this. So sometimes I'll stand up. No, that's not what he means. Tell me, right? Worship team, we had our worship team meeting a few weeks ago, and I did that. I was like, no, he means it like this, this, and this. And I'm like, no, because I stop his growth. Because I'm comfortable with taking control, but God might try to pull something out of him to make stretch him, but I'm like, but that's what I'm good at. But God's trying to stretch him. So sometimes even in the church, because we're comfortable doing everything, we take away other people's position that God is trying to prepare them for. God is trying to stretch them, but we're like, oh, they can't do it. No. That's a lie. That's the devil. They can do it. They will. God will grow them in their time and in their purpose. We're there to walk alongside them, to mentor them. When they mess up, after, come and tell them, you know what? Let's work on this. But let them mess up. Let them do it. And let them get to their own land of praise. Let them become, you know, who God has called them to be. Let them enjoy the harvest that God is going to give them. We need to get out of Moab and get back to Judah. Amen. Amen. Ruth 1:14 says, as this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. We're going to focus on Ruth clung to her. But this happens after, right? They both, Orpah and Ruth, are both like, no, Ma, we're going to go with you. We're going to go back with you. But then Naomi explains, but you guys have no husbands. What am I going to do for you? How am I going to help you? And after she explains this, I feel like Orpah was like, yeah, you're right. Like, why would I go back with you? I'm young. I'm beautiful. I could get a husband here in Moab. Yeah, never mind. You'll go, right? At this, they wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Two different choices. They were both in their comfort zone, right? Ruth and Orpah are both from Moab. They're both Moabites. They've lived there all their life. Once again, they know the people. They know everything going on. They know everything happening. They're in their comfort zone. This is their world. And now it's time for a decision. Do I stay or do I go? When I hear all of the things that might happen, that could happen, am I going to shrink back in fear or am I going to step back out in faith? And that happens so many times in our life when God is calling us, right? He asked me to speak and I'm like, okay. But inside I'm fearful, but I still go forward. I've learned. I go forward because I've learned that God will provide. But there are times where God asks something of you. Maybe it's to join the worship team. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Or the children's ministry. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And will you step out or are you like, oh no, kids don't like me. I can't sing. You think you've never actually had anybody listen to you. And he's saying, okay, I need you to go here. Will we step out and believe and trust him, right? When we think of Peter on the water, he trusted God, but then he turned away and he started to sink. Will we keep our eyes, will we fix our eyes on Jesus despite any persecution that might come in our way, despite the circumstances that might happen, despite the trials, despite the situation, do we still believe that God has our best interests? And when you stay in your comfort zone, you're like, nope, I don't believe it. Ooh, 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 ooh. You're saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. When we stay in our comfort zone, we miss out on what God has planned for us. And living inside our comfort zone is living outside of God's will. Because if we're in our comfort zone and he's calling us to take a step further, but we decide to still stay there, we're not walking in his will. We're not walking in his direction. We're not walking. Because let me tell you, the walk, right? Oh, yeah, become a Christian. It's not a rosy walk. There are trials. There are things that go on. But we hold fast to Jesus. That's what helps us go forward. It's Jesus. It's not me. It's not the president. It's not the mayor. It's Jesus that helps me go forward. And knowing, right, we fix our eyes on him. We know where we have an eternal perspective, all my Sunday school people. We have an eternal perspective and not an earthly perspective. So we will walk in that knowing, all right, God knows he's got a bigger picture. He's got a bigger plan. I'm nervous. I'm shaking. I'm sweating, but I'm still, and he takes that. He's like, yes, I don't care if sweat's dripping down you from head to toe. You're walking. That's all I ask is that you walk in obedience. It says, Ruth clung to her. And I wrote, the King James Version says, she cleaved to her, to stick fast to, strongly adhere to. I love that. Ruth clung to her. What if we clung to Jesus like that? What if we clung to Jesus? She said, not where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. What if we said that to God? What if we clung on to God and we're like, God, I want to go with you no matter where you go. You might be taking me out of Moab into Egypt, into New York City, into California, into Africa, wherever, God. But I want to go where you go. I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I don't care where you go. I'm going to follow you until death. What if we really did that? Like Sam's saying, I give myself away. What if we truly did that? Because sometimes we say it, but we don't really do it. But Ruth did it. She clung. She gave herself away to Naomi, and she said, I'll follow you. I don't care. I don't have a husband. I don't know the land. She's never been to Judah. She's a Moabite. She knows she's going to get that eye. We call it what? The stank eye from all the other people. Like, who is that girl? What is she doing? That she's not walking into a land that's going to welcome her. She's walking into a land that they don't like her. You've oppressed our people. 24,000 of our people have died because of your land and your gods that we worship. She's not walking into anything pretty. But Ruth still clung to her. What if we still clung to God and said, I don't care. You could send me into Iraq. You could send me into Iran. You could send me into Egypt, wherever. You could send me to Jordan, and I'll go as long as you go with me, God. As long as, right, Ruth clung to Naomi. As long as you go, Naomi, I'm going. Holy Spirit, as long as you go, I'm going. I'll step out of my comfort zone, God. If it's you leading me, if it's you calling me, if it's you directing me, I will go. If that was our prayer, imagine. Imagine the things that we could do. Ugh. Imagine. To strongly adhere to. We need to get back and strongly adhere to God. We need to up our prayer life. We talk about that all the time. Pastor talks about prayer, but do we really understand? Do we really understand that in prayer, that's when God's going to call us out of our comfort zone? How do you know the direction that He's leading you if you're not asking Him? How do you know the direction, men, that He's leading your family if you're not praying for your family and asking God, what's the direction? Oh, God, I'm comfortable right here. If you're praying about your job, but God's saying, just stay there. But you're like, but God, I can't stand this job. And you quit, but God never told you to, because maybe there's a learning experience or a growth that you need to do there. Or maybe you love your job. You love it, you love it, you love it, but you hear God calling you, but God, this job is awesome. I've got an awesome boss. I've got awesome pay. Everything is great. I have the best of friends here. And God's like, right, but now it's time to move. That happens in your prayer closet. He speaks to you in your prayer closet. If you don't have that connection, you might even not realize that you're living in comfortability. You think, oh, everything's going great. I do my drive-by prayer. God, have a great day. Thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. And that's my prayer. That's not prayer. I mean, it is, but it's not a deep relationship, right? It's not a communion where you're waiting. All right, God, this is what I'm asking. This is my heart. What do you say? And God responds. That's prayer. God responds. I'm having a conversation. There's a response. Sometimes we're stuck in comfortability. We want things to come to us. We don't want to have to make that effort to reach out, right? We don't want to have to make that effort and set a time to pray. We just want God to speak to us. Like, I should just be walking throughout my day and God should just speak. I shouldn't have to set a time apart where I actually, all right, God, I need to hear from you. I need you to speak to me. No, we expect God to just drop hints throughout the day. No, we have to cling. We have to cling to God. We have to cling to the word, right? Actually, I'll share this with you. As Pastor mentioned my Bible, and I haven't honestly taken this Bible out in a long time because I'm on my phone Bible, but I have this Bible and I gotta get emotional. Growing up, my dad always wrote in my Bible. Sorry. And as many of you know, he's no longer here. He passed away, but amen, he's in glory. I believe that 100%. So I took out this Bible, and I remember that this was the last Bible that I had bought before my dad passed away. And like usual, he wrote in the beginning of it. He did that all my Bibles. If you look at my Bibles, you'll see I'm writing from my dad. So I'd buy it, and then I'd be like, here, Dad, you have to write something. And then I'd give it back. It was like his blessing, right? On our birthdays, he'd give us our blessing. And it was something that, you know, I definitely held on to. And he said to my daughter, Catherine, This Bible is a roadmap. Sorry. And a book of laws. I pray as you read it, you will do it as though your life depends on it, because it does. And sometimes we forget that our life depends on this word. If we're looking for directions, maybe you're looking for a healing, maybe you're looking for your family's crazy, and you don't know. And God's like, open the Bible. I've given you my word. It's there. Open your Bible. Open your mouth. Pray. Speak to me. And he's waiting for us to cling to him. And he's waiting for us to grasp, but we never get there. So we're wandering around in Moab for most of our life, just short of the promised land, because sometimes we never stop and ask for directions. Your Bible is a roadmap. Your Bible is the directions. Your prayer life is a direction. And if we never stop and ask for direction, you're never going to get to your destination. Anyway, we need to get to our destination. We know we'll never be at our final destination until we get to heaven, but there are things that God has called us to do here on this earth. But if we stay stuck in our comfort zone, if we stay stuck in a famine, we're never going to be released on those things. Into those things, Ruth 1, 20 to 21, don't call me Naomi, she said. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. I kind of found that funny, because she left Judah because there was a famine. So I was like, how did you go away full? That makes no sense. So she thought she was full. And sometimes we think we're full. Really, we're just full of ourselves. We think we're full. We've got this. I've got my finances, check. I've got the best vacation lined up, check. My children are all 4.0 students, check. They're on the track team, check. Oh, everything's going great. My wife is the best cook in the world, check. I am full. But God's like, you're not full. Like, what are you full of? You filled yourself up with things that have nothing to do with me. You're not really full. You're not really full. So Matthew 9:17 says, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. Sometimes God needs to empty us out because he can't use that old that's within us. He can't use that old me, right? We need to go through a transformation. It's here. And be renewed by our mind. In order, we need to get rid of this old skin. God can't dwell in there, because it's full of all this other junk. It's full of all this other stuff. Instagram's great. Facebook is great. Your family time is great. But sometimes God's like, where's the room for me? I need to empty it out so I can replace it with newness. I need to empty it out so you can be used. He can't use you being the same, right? We're transformed. We're renewed, and that's when God uses us, when we're transformed, when we're renewed, when we're like, all right, God, I surrender. Truly, God, I surrender. Ruth 1:22 says, so Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. The harvest represents spiritual growth. It represents health. They went from famine to harvest. Harvest was beginning. I love this part, because sometimes we think we're praying, and I think somebody might have said this earlier, and we're praying, and God's promised us this, and we don't see it in our lifetime, but it does not mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean that God forgot. Sometimes it's not for now. Sometimes it's for the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth generation. You're praying in them. You're praying for blessings over them. And I love in Matthew chapter 1, when we read, right? Ruth stepped out of her comfort zone. She could have stayed in Moab. She could have stayed where she was at. But she decided to step out of her comfort zone and to follow Naomi. And if you read in Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read it real quick. We're going to end in 2 minutes. So Sam, if you can come up. Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 5. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And if you read all the way down to verse 16, this is the lineage. This is the genealogy of Jesus. So that's verse 5 and 6. And then if you skip down to verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Naomi didn't realize, Ruth didn't realize that stepping out of her comfort zone would set her up to be in the lineage of Jesus. She didn't realize that stepping out of her comfort zone would bring descendants that changed the world. King David, Solomon, because she decided to step out of her comfort zone, the generations that came after her were blessed. They were wise. The Messiah, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, came from her lineage because she decided to step out of her comfort zone. And sometimes God is like, step out. I'm calling you. And you might not see it in your generation, but he's like, could you imagine your great, 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 great grandchild is going to be the next president of the United States? Can you imagine your great, 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 great granddaughter is going to be the person that I get the wisdom to cure cancer? Can you believe if you would just step out of your comfort zone? If you would just step into the destiny that I have called you to, if you would truly believe that I have a plan and a purpose, that if you would fix your eyes on me, I will lead you. It's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to be hard. There's going to be turmoil. I'm not going to say it's going to be roses, but if you would just step out and see the harvest was beginning. The blessings were about to come, and Ruth didn't even know it, right? She hasn't met Boaz yet. That's later in the story. All she did was step out. She clung to Naomi, and she said, I'm going to go. She stepped out, and because she stepped out, there was going to be a blessing that she didn't even realize was coming to her. She was going to find a husband, someone to care for her, someone to love her. And through that, she would have a son, Obed. And through that lineage, Jesus, the King, would be born. We don't understand what we do when we don't obey God. If we would just give that person that word that God called us to give to them, if we would just go to the grocery store and buy that gallon of milk that God placed on our heart, if we would just let that person make the left-hand turn and we'll wait to go next, if we would just get our eyes off of ourselves. I think of missionaries that go into other countries, and they've truly stepped out of their comfort zone. They've stepped into different cultures, but they did it because God's called them to. And the things that they're doing overseas, but there are things that you can do right here, right now. If we can all just close your eyes and bow your heads. God has called you to do something right here and right now. And there's something you're holding on to. It's comfortable. Hey, maybe God is calling you to come to Wednesday night Bible studies. But God, I'm tired. But I'm trying to stretch you. But God, I'm tired. But I'm going to help you learn my word. But God, I'm tired. We look at all these great speakers and preachers, and some of us are like, God, I want to be like them. But they started in prayer. They started going to Bible study. They started going to prayer groups. And that's when God developed them into the person they were today. They didn't just become big. They started gradually by obeying the little steps that God set before them. And some of you guys, God has given you a step and you're fearful to take it. Some of you have become so comfortable that you're not even talking to God right now. You're so comfortable. I don't really want to hear what God said because I know it's going to tell me to move. I don't want to talk to God because I'm good right where I'm at. But I'm telling you, right where you're at is a place of It's just outside of Judah. It's just outside of the promised land. So if God is calling you and you know it might be a little thing, it might be a little step. Like I said, it doesn't have to be some outrageous movement. Maybe it's to cancel your Amazon Prime. It's something, but to you, you're like, if I do that, my list is going to be messed up. My checklist isn't going to go as planned. But you know God is calling you to step out. If that's you, if you can just come up and just begin to give it to God. Just begin to say, God, this is it. I hear you. I hear you tugging at my heart, God. I hear that you want me to do this. I'm not even sure why. I don't understand why you want me to give this up, but here, God, I trust you. So if that's you, I ask that you just come forward and just give it to God, just as a yielding and a submission to him. Just say, God, you can have it. I know you.